Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. What's up, Star Fam? Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, November 4, 2011. That track was Under the Water from the album Timeless Trance, and I'll be playing some more of those tracks throughout the program. An awesome album. I've had it for about 8-9 years now, and it never gets old. Don't forget, Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by HelixLay.com, the new interactive Flower of Life board game. HelixLay is a multifaceted game of discovery based on the ancient geometry known as the Flower of Life. The intention of this game is to create a parameter in which participants communicate the perspectives of topics played. thus creating a deeper understanding of oneself and others. That's www.helixileh.com. Helixileh.com. Joining me on the show tonight, I have two very special, awesome guests. I have Richard Ganaway from AOMusic.com. Richard is up for his second Grammy, so a big shout out for him. And also David Beeler, the inventor of the Flower of Life board game. Now, I know the last two shows I talked about the 10 mind-blowing facts which show you how members of Congress and federal employees are living the high life at our expense. I did not get to do them, so I'm going to do them right now at the beginning of the show so I don't run out of time once again. So here we go. The following are 10 mind-blowing facts which show you how members of Congress and federal employees are living the high life at our expense. Number one, when you total up the compensation, including health care and benefits, the average income for a federal worker in Washington, D.C., area was $126,369 last year. Number two, in 2005, there were 7,420 federal workers were making $150,000 or more per year. In 2010, a whopping 82,034 federal workers were making $150,000 or more per year. That is a more than a tenfold increase in just 5 years. Wake up, people. Number three, in 2005, the U.S. Department of Defense had just 9 civilians earning $170,000 or more. When Barack Obama took office, the U.S. Department of Defense had 214 civilians earning $170,000 or more. Now in June 2010, the U.S. Department of Defense has 994 civilians earning $170,000 or more. Number four, last year, federal employees earned approximately $447 billion in total compensation. Number five, according to a study by the Heritage Foundation, federal workers earn 30 to 40% more money on average than their counterparts in the private sector. Figure that one out. Number six, today, one out of every 12 people living in Washington, D.C. is a lawyer. In New York City, only one out of every 123 people residents is a lawyer. Number seven, more than 50% of members of the U.S. Congress are millionaires. Number eight, the median wealth of U.S. senators in 2009 was $2.38 million. Number nine, insider trading is perfectly legal for members of U.S. Congress, and they refuse to pass a law that would change that. Number 10, the percentage of millionaires in Congress is more than 50 times higher than the percentage of millionaires in the general population. Again, the top 10 reasons to show you how the members of federal government are living the high life at our taxpayer dollars expense. Moving on to the updates, updates, updates. Of course, we are going to go right into Occupy Wall Street. But first, before we get into that, I want to give a shout out to all the Star Fam, Galactic Federation of Light, all the Starship Commanders, the Palladians, Octorians, Andromedians, and all the Star Family, all multidimensional beings of light. The ninth universal Mayan wave of consciousness has ended. These next 18 months are what they call the time of no time. And I truly believe some interesting things are going to happen, things we've been waiting for a long time. Also, I want to give a shout out to an issue that's been coming up a lot in my life lately, and also I've noticed a lot in the spiritual community. And this is what I would call a spiritual hiccup, if you will. I've come to notice that a lot of people in the spiritual community like to condone other spiritual people in the community's BS. What I mean by that is I've been in certain situations recently where certain people that I know their intention and love and light is not correct, and other people also aware of it but refuse to really acknowledge it in terms of still feeding them people to feed off their energy. What do I mean by that? Well, I will give you an example. There happens to be a event going on in the North Carolina area, and as most people know or friends of mine know, that the energies that the event is created around are not of the correct energy. And then it was told to me by other members of the community, well, that's the past and don't worry about it and don't worry about what they did. It's all about the now and it's all about the future. And that's good, and I get that. But what that is to me is condoning people's BS. Meaning that if you know that someone's intent is not correct, but you still allow that person to flourish and be a member of the community in terms of attracting newcomers to the community without knowing that their intent isn't right, that's not cool. That's not cool. If your intent is not right, this is one star seed that ain't going to condone your BS. And that's been coming up a lot. If someone is not of the correct frequency, then there's no time to have that frequency in your vibration. If they are unwilling and unable and do not want to even look at that and just stay in the Zen bubble, as we call it, which is, I'm in my Zen bubble and I don't want to hear that because it's lowering my vibration. And don't judge people. I hear that a lot too. Don't judge people. Well, if you don't judge people, then you're basically just allowing them to continue their behaviors and acting the way they are, even though you know their behaviors and actions aren't correct. It's condoning someone's BS. I don't do it. I don't plan on doing it. And people in the Asheville community, they need to step up their game. In other communities, Arizona, because I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot from a lot of people. You remember, this is the psychic community. If your intent or something isn't correct, people will pick that up. It's common sense. And I've been seeing a lack of common sense in the spiritual community. There's a lack of a backbone. And I just wanted to say something because it's coming up a lot for me. It's been a lot this week. And, you know, sometimes feelings get hurt or feelings get in the way. There's no time for that. The time is now. The time is to get serious. And if you're going to condone someone's energy that you know is not correct, or an energy vampire, or whatever you want to call it, well, then don't come around me. Don't come around my star friends, because that's not the vibration we're kicking. So a shout out to all the true beings out there, multidimensional beings of light. You know, time is now. We don't have time for games. So if you want to play games and play energy games and steal people's energy and be the little vampire and talk a lot of stuff, but then again, your intentions are not correct, take it somewhere else. And that being said, take it somewhere else. We're going to give you some Occupy Wall Street updates. Occupy Wall Street has taken the world by storm. There's over 2,500 different cities right now. And we may be witnessing the first large global conflict where people are aligned by consciousness and not nation, state, or religion, which is awesome. They're fighting a corporateocracy that has bought governments, created armed enforcers, the police, engaged in systematic economic fraud, and plundered treasures and ecosystems. That's what's been going on. The people are sick of it. So hear me, hear us now. We're not putting up with it anymore, and the people are awakening. Dozens of Occupy protesters accused of trespassing were arrested in Oregon and Texas early Sunday, authorities said. Police arrested more than two dozen people who refused to leave the park in northwest Portland, Oregon, after warnings that the park closed at midnight, police said. Authorities in Portland gave protesters numerous opportunities to simply walk away or choose to be arrested, Mayor Sam Adams told CNN affiliate KPTV. This tonight was, I think, an unnecessary confrontation that we worked really hard to minimize, he said. As police entered the park, an Occupy Portland Twitter post said, this is what a police state looks like, quote unquote. Police also arrested 38 people in Austin, Texas, who had also set up a table with food and other items outside City Hall. When the group was asked to leave the area, the 38 people refused and were arrested also by police. Yesterday here in Asheville, 24 people were arrested. The day before that, 10 people were arrested. They only can arrest, they only could stop, they only can quiet so many people. But the masses are awakening, and you cannot arrest us all. Occupy Wall Street in New York was also confiscated right before the snowstorm, which we'll talk about a little later on the show. The snowstorm that came in, they went through the camp, took everyone's generators, gasoline, and said that was not allowed. So some smart people brought pedaled powered generators. That's right. Occupy Wall Street will soon survive on pedal power. They have about 11 bikes hooked up to generators, and now people are pedaling for the power. That's how you do it. Thinking. The government wants to try to hamper us, stop us. Well, we'll just do it, come around it, make moves, and come out on top as always, because we are the people, the 99%. Look at Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Tunisia. Just fell a week ago. These things are happening, and it's happening here. 26 people were arrested Saturday at Occupy Nashville. Occupy Atlanta protester, government is broken. The arrest came 2 days after the city of Austin issued rules saying food tables at the event must be put away between 10 p.m. and 6 p.m. So they arrested protesters. Demonstrators across the country are protesting corporate greed and corruption. Many say the nation's wealthiest 1% hold inordinate sway over the remaining 99% of the population. That is obvious. Scores of protesters have been arrested nationwide during the weeks-long Occupy movement. It is now months long. They keep putting weeks in the news because they don't want people really to know how long it's been going on. But it's been going on for over 2 months now. Scores of protesters have been arrested nationwide. On Friday, police said 51 demonstrators in San Diego, California, were arrested for various charges. Three others were arrested in similar charges in Tampa Bay, Florida. In Atlanta, police arrested demonstrators at a downtown park overnight Tuesday. The arrest came after Mayor Klesem said they sent ministers to the park to see if we can find a way to resolve this. Good luck with that. In Nashville, Tennessee, authorities arrested more than 24 protesters overnight Saturday. They again defied a curfew imposed by the state's governor. 26 people received citations. On Thursday, Oakland, California, Mayor Gene Kwan apologized for authorities' confrontations with demonstrators who were tear-gassed. The clash led to the hospitalization of Iraqi war veteran who we talked about last time on the show. Marine veteran Scott Olson suffered a skull fracture Tuesday night after allegedly being struck by a tear gas canister in Oakland. And allegedly is in the article because police are now denying that the cops shot him. Meanwhile, I've seen the YouTube videos myself. I posted them. Always check out Starseed Energy Radio. I always have live Twitter feeds. I post every day, usually every day, or check out my Twitter feed as well. But we always put up the live posts as the news comes in. You need to stay on top of this stuff because things are escalating quickly. In New York, where the Occupy movement was born, activists braved snow, sleet, and rain Saturday during an unusual early snowstorm in the Northeast. Denver police used tear gas, rubber bullets, batons, and pepper spray on protesters. There are reports just as in Oakland. And that's seeing more and more police are cracking down. It is a police state, time to awaken. Of police attacking people while they're trying to help the injured. This is during the Scott Olson incident. He got shot. People ran over to help him. And what happened? The police threw a flashbang grenade in the middle of the group. And I saw the YouTube video. I have it posted. There's a bunch of them up. The protesters were trying to help him, pick him up the floor. No one was doing anything. The police engaged them and threw flashbang grenades. The problem is militarization of the police departments and the use of anti-terror laws to crush dissident. Occupy Wall Street braces for winter. Now, the taxpayers, we, the 99%, pay the taxes for those parks, and we pay the taxes to keep those parks clean. If we want to occupy them, stay in them, camp in them, protest in them, we have every right to. Every park in the country. Occupy Oakland grows in the wake of police violence. Hundreds of protesters have restored the encampment where they cleared out. I saw videos over 10,000 Oakland people march this week. They shut down the port for a little bit. Well, they didn't shut it down, but the port actually went on strike themselves in solidarity with the Occupy Oakland movement. They did shut down several banks. The masses are growing in Oakland, and that's what happens when you throw flashbang grenades, rubber bullets, and tear gas at peaceful protesters. I also saw lots of video this week of hooded men in these protests purposely throwing things through windows, throwing paint, destroying ATM machines. These are people dressed in all black and are reported to be undercover cops and FBI agents. Is that true? I don't know, but if you look at the video, everyone is yelling at these people to stop. There's a peaceful protest. They don't listen to anybody. They continue to get in protesters' faces, curse at them, and destroy the banks and public property, which Occupy Wall Street does not support violence. So these people are definitely the troublemakers, and how it looks, how it feels, and what people are saying is it is the cops. This is what they do in other countries. They send in their own people to cause a disturbance, to declare martial law, to arrest people, to do whatever they want to do. This is an old trick. The U.S. has been doing it for a long time. Nothing new. Occupy the Vatican serves eviction notice against child-raping church as Canadian media distorts the event. Native people assaulted by the Catholics as Vancouver cops stand by and watch. Listen to this. Two dozen men and women from Occupy Vancouver and the Occupy the Vatican movement, most of them Aboriginal, faced assaults and a human blockade from members of the Catholic Knights of Columbus yesterday outside the Holy Rosary Cathedral while trying to peacefully occupy it and enforce a legal eviction order against the Roman Catholic Church for its murder of thousands of residential school children. Let me repeat that. While trying to peacefully occupy it and enforce a legal eviction order against the Roman Catholic Church for its murder of thousands of residential school children. Quote unquote, one of the people that were there, a female said, "I kept yelling to the police to help us, but they stood there at the church entrance and did nothing, even when the Knights of Columbus were shoving one man and making him fall right off the church steps," described a female member of Occupy Vancouver. Quote, "It's like the cops were being private security guards for the church, and the Knights of Columbus were acting like police." End quote. Go figure that one. Officials increasingly refuse unlawful orders to arrest Occupy protesters. A Baltimore police union and two firefighter unions have written to Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings, who wants to shut down the Occupy Baltimore, asking the protests to be allowed to continue. Let me repeat that. A Baltimore police union and two firefighter unions have written the mayor, and they said, let the protests happen. And city's employees from Irvine, California, to Providence, Rhode Island, have correctly said that whether or not they agree with the protesters' views, the protesters have the right of free speech and free assembly under the Constitution. Now, police are acting as criminals. Police are not allowed to fire projectiles, throw grenades, or flashbangs at protesters. These weapons can only be used on felony suspects by law. Otherwise, their use is a violation of procedure, and their use is illegal. The accusations against Occupy Wall Street protesters was trespass. Thus, those attacked were not armed felons. The methods used are restricted only to armed felons. Police actions were, in actuality, criminal assaults, reckless at minimum, and blatant attempts to murder innocent civilians on behalf of financial institutions, and have been privately and quietly illegally funded individual police force, in all likelihood. Don't forget the revolutions that happened in Iceland. Well, Greece pull in Iceland and tell the banks to pound sand. This article is titled, Iceland told the banks to pound sand, and Iceland's economy is doing much better than virtually all the countries who have let the banks push them around. They don't talk about this. They don't want you to know about it. The people in Iceland rose up. They protested. They ousted the government. The country's running fine, in better shape than all the other countries around the globe. It's a fact. Google it. Look it up. Again, check out my Twitter feeds each week. Check out Starseed Energy Radio. We always talk about this stuff. And check out the OccupyTheNation.com. And always remember, in a time of universal deceit, which is now, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Going into the Fukushima updates, last week we didn't have much to report. A couple new reports did come out this week. Cesium-137 flow into the sea is 30 times greater than stated by TAPCO. That we could have told you. Another headliner is Fukushima nuclear radiation, hot particles proven in the U.S. Scientific research confirms Arne Gunder's analysis that Fukushima nuclear radioactive hot particles are in U.S. air and public health risk in the U.S. and Canada. I've been talking about this since it happened. The mainstream media doesn't even talk about it anymore. What this means is thousands, if not millions, of people will be dying over the next 1 to 20 years of cancer from the radioactive fallout that is now hitting the U.S. Another report, U.S. topsoil contains levels of radioactive cesium up to 10,000% higher than previously believed. Few in the mainstream media are talking about it these days, but radiation for the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster is still spewing into the contamination of the environment, and no one is talking about it. An update on Libya. This is something we've been covering for a while. Libya, the truth and nothing but the Libyan truth. Some of what I have found out about Libya and Muammar Gaddafi myself since this brutal illegal invasion of Libya by the Rothschild-owned NATO forces, which is owned by the banks. Not only have I learned a lot of Gaddafi's background and history, but I've also learned he is not a dictator. He stood down after setting up direct democracy, but his people have something to teach us about freedom and independence. I ask all reading this and listening to this to do whatever they can to oppose the New World Order, NATO, the UN, and our corrupt politicians. Check out Gaddafi's book. You can check it out at 911-truth.net, his Gaddafi Green Book, and check that out. Check the videos that we post and see for yourself. What's happening in Libya now since the UN stopped the protests and the NATO helped the protesters because Gaddafi was killing the protesters? Oh, I'll tell you. You know what happened? Al-Qaeda commander ordered Sharia law in Libya. Way to go. That means execution of gays. Women can't go outside without have to have their face covered up. And on and on. If you're not familiar with Sharia law, look that up, because that's what just got imposed in Libya. Besides that, we did 26,000 air missions there, and the city is totally bombed out. I watched videos this week. There wasn't one building without a bullet hole or a bomb. They just drove down the main street of Libya, and it was just It was horrible. Burnt out cars. The whole place is leveled. It's a humanitarian disaster. We killed over 50,000 people. But yet Obama is touted around the country as, oh, we helped the protesters, and he's such a bad dictator. Not. Silence in the face of deception is consent, and that goes for everybody. And that's why I talk about this stuff on the show, because if you're aware of it, then you have to tell someone. You have to do something about it. You have to send light and love, whatever you're guided to do. But if you're not aware of it, you can't help the situation, and to be aware is to be alive. G.I. Joe. On to the Earth Changes. Earth Changes updates. As we talked about a little earlier, the snowstorm that hit. Power outages could last for 6 days after deadly snowstorms hit the Northwest. Millions of customers reported loss of power this weekend, or the past weekend, including more than 650,000 in Massachusetts, 200,000 in New Hampshire. As many as 1,000 trees were destroyed by the snowstorm in Central Park. It was revealed as 3 million homes without electricity were warned the blackout could last for a week. This is just from snow. There's a lot more than this coming. Halloween for the first time ever, and there is much more on the way. New York City today has been hit more than an inch of snowfall before Halloween for the first time ever, with experts predicting much more on the way. More than 1.5 million homes have already lost power on the storm. Okay, on to the news. I have a lot of news to cover, but I want to get to our first guest, so I'm going to go through these articles pretty quickly. I will, as always, post these up on Starseed Energy Radio. I have been running behind because I have just been so busy with other projects and things that I'm doing, but I will update this as soon as possible. Going into the police state, why is it a police state? Well, this article will tell you all about it. Homeland Security streetlights include surveillance cameras and loudspeakers. As part of the federal-funded project, public streetlights will soon have the ability to record conversations, broadcast government warnings, advertise just about anything, and possibly even X-ray bodies for concealed weapons, just like the highly controversial TSA scanners. The streetlight surveillance system are fail-proof because they are linked together through an underground cables and wireless network, so if one goes out, the rest are still working. Isn't that great? Listen to this article. This one's even better. New World Order. Implantable RFID chips capable of remotely killing non-compliant, quote-unquote, slaves are here. Positioned as the solution to eliminating identity theft, lost wallets and purses, and a host of other information breaches, the all-inclusive implantable RFID chip tracking chip is gaining momentum for widespread implementation. Recent news reports indicate that an RFID chip, tracking chip capable of killing humans that presumably do not comply with rogue government demands, has already been invented. There's a simple no denying the fact that the powers that be are working towards microchipping all of humanity. Countless news reports, including those compiled on the following YouTube clip, which I'll put a link up for, openly speak of the microchips designed for implement into human skin. They're already doing this. They're already putting chips in babies in Mexico. They're putting chips all over the place. They're doing it in hospitals. This is nothing new. But what many people do not realize is that this technology exists now and how has it been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. That's right. The FDA has already approved this cool chip for use in humans. Repeat. This has already been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The FDA has already approved this chip for use in humans. Not only do these chips silently and invisibly store and transmit personal data, but they can also be encoded to perform a variety of other functions, including killing the person. Awesome! And it's already approved by the FDA. Yay! Where can I get my first chip? So cool. Deep breath. Okay. U.S. does not have permission for drone strikes. The Pakistani Prime Minister has categorically said no permission has been given to the U.S. to launch drone strikes inside Pakistan's territory. I talked about this months ago. I've been talking about it. I'm going to continue to talk about it. There is no such permission for the U.S. to be launching drone strikes in Pakistan, in Ethiopia, in Somalia, now in the French Horn of Africa. That's right. We moved troops into Africa. Not only are we occupying six different Middle Eastern countries, we're now moving into the Horn of Africa. Thank you for taking over Libya, NATO, because now we have a launching pad. This article, U.S. secretly flying drones out of Ethiopia. The U.S. Air Force has been secretly flying drones from a civilian airport in southern Ethiopia as part of an aggressive campaign against Al-Qaeda, a.k.a. CIA, in Somalia and Yemen. The Washington Post reported on Sunday. The paper said on its online edition that the Washington has invested millions of dollars to upgrade a remote airfield in Arba Minch, from where it was now flying a fleet of Reaper drones that can carry Hellfire missiles and satellite-guided bombs. Another article, America's War in the Horn of Africa, Drone Alley. U.S. military confirms Washington's secret new war in Somalia despite official denials. U.S. military sources have confirmed that the Obama administration is engaged in a new war in the famine-hit Horn of Africa region. The disclosure in the Washington Post comes only days after the prominent Western media outlets, including the New York Times and the Financial Times, carried denials from the U.S. government that it was involved in directly supporting Kenya forces that invaded Somalia October 16th, which I talked about 2 weeks ago. We sent troops, more troops into Kenya and Somalia, and now more drone strikes, which they're not telling anyone or reporting on anywhere in the U.S., but we are killing people every day. Multiple countries that we have no right to do, and it has to be stopped, plain and simple. But the only way to stop it is to be aware and spread truth about what is going on. Another article, GMO crops require more pesticides and create resistant insects. We've been talking about this also on the show. Genetically modified crops are not only devastating to your health, but they are also wreaking havoc on all the environment. That's going to stop real soon as well. Awesome article. Check this out. Astronomers discover complex organic matter exists throughout the universe. Woohoo! Thank you, science, once again, for telling all the spiritually enlightened people what we already know. Astronomers report in the Journal of Nature that organic compounds of unexpected complexity exist throughout the universe. The results suggest that complex organic compounds are not the sole domain of life, but can be made naturally by stars. I got to read that again. The results suggest that complex organic compounds are not the sole domain of life, but can be made naturally by stars. You are the stars trying to comprehend yourselves in this planet Earth. That's what we are. The findings could mean that the universe is far bigger than we thought, possibly even infinite. Duh. Another strike against the religious dogma called the Big Bang. Big Bang. And the last article, Obama has declared record-breaking 89 disasters so far in 2011. He loves calling disasters. You know why? Because then they get to send in FEMA, and FEMA is controlled by the government, and they do whatever they want. So Obama loves calling natural disasters. He's called 89 this year. And with that, we're going to listen to another track from Timeless Chance and on to our first interview. Here's Mercury of Solace. Welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That track was Mercury and Solace off the album Timeless Trance. And now joining us on the show is David Beeler, inventor of Helixalay, the Flower of Life board game. David, you with us?
I'm with you, Jonah. How you doing?
I am doing great this evening. And the energy is good today. Beautiful day here in Asheville, as you know. So I'm feeling good. Thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
So first, let's start off with, where did this game idea originate from? How did you come to create such an amazing game?
Well, Genesis, I developed this game to communicate with with an ex-girlfriend who I still love, you know, to this day, and our love was, you know, translated into more of a friendship these days. But when I was talking to her on the phone, I was realizing that the same dynamic that was the cause of our breakup was still occurring. And that dynamic is basically a lack of listening. And people often wait for their turn to speak and often miss things that are said in the conversation by the other person. So I invented a little game so that me and her could speak, and we could take turns and tell our perspectives of any given subject.
It's so simple, but yet it is so complex, because I played the game myself, and it could take you on a number of different journeys. Tell us about some of the different ways the game could be played.
Okay, yeah, so you can play with friends and family, and there's one method of play where you pull cards, and those would be your starter words, and you form conversations and perspectives around that. And now let's look at that, because what we're dealing with is making word associations. So you might put the word black on the board, and for me that might mean strength. So I would tell a connection between those two words, black and strength, and I would put strength next to your word black. And so the puzzle can move quite nicely from one topic and end up across the board to an apparently different topic, but playing the game, you can see how their connections are made.
And why did you choose?
That's kind of what we do in life too. Is we get a little further away from our community, and we think that there's a disconnection and separation. So the real purpose of this game now is to encourage unity.
And choosing the Flower of Life pattern, how does that, you know, play into the effect of the game? Why did you choose that pattern?
That's a good question. In this Flower of Life is the five platonic solids, or rather, how I'll say it is, the five platonic solids are birthed out of the shape of overlapping circles. And this shape of overlapping circles creates these apparent flower petals. And it's very easy to see that when you put a word in the center of one circle, that it is on the circumference of another circle. So whatever the center of my world is, it might be on the circumference of your world, and the circumference of my world might be touching into the center of your world. And so we're looking for the connections there of what those intersections are and how we can support each other.
I remember when I played that the Flower of Life pattern sort of spreads the game out. Like, you start in the middle, like you said, and as you add words, you associate those words, and it sort of gives you like a blueprint to sort of bridge out and map to different scenarios using people's different interpretations. But you also have different designs. You just don't have the Flower of Life. You have other designs too. What are some of the other designs you use for the game?
Okay, yeah. So on the backs of all the boards, there's several designs, or several different designs that are on different boards. One is the Seed of Life. And when you're playing the Seed of Life, you play that by yourself. You can play with others, but the way I developed it is to play by yourself, to have a sort of subconscious thought distillation. So what you do is you will put a conscious word in the center, and then you'll allow your subconscious mind to speak for the next five words, and then you'll consciously make a connection between the first word on your subconscious mind and the last word on your subconscious mind and your conscious word. And so what you do is you end up creating a spectrum of your own subconscious mind and consciously deciding what that spectrum means. What's the gist of those last five words that just flowed out of your head? And so,
yeah.
So that's the Seed of Life. There's the Tree of Life that can be played with others, and that's kind of a competitive board to where you can quickly move through that. There's also a chakra board where you can actually see where blockages are at in your chakras, and when you wipe the board clean and do the chakra board again, you start to see where the blockages move, where they're released, how you can move through them. And basically, as you use this by yourself, it relieves you from the sense of spinning around one particular topic. It allows you to move.
And I remember the first time that I met up with you, and that was downtown Asheville, we ended up sitting in a tea house, five of us, for 2.5 hours, because it's just such a interactive game that you just want to keep playing because you want to learn more about the people playing it, just for that reason alone. So that right there sold me, just because it's such an interactive, personal game to really get to know the people you're with.
Absolutely. We've played games until 1 a.m. in the morning, and the only reason was we realized that it was 1 a.m., and the host had to go to bed.
There you go. And now some of the things that you have are on your website. Give out your website address where people could buy this game and learn more about it.
Okay, it's helixilae.com, and you spell that H-E-L-I-X-I-L-E-H. And so when we look at that word helixilae.com, that word helixilae is a word that I made up myself, and I defined it. I figure I made it up. I can define it as well. It is the reflective quality of relationship as seen through the lens of perspective. So within this game board, if you have one, or just look at a flower of life, you can start to see the DNA double helixes running through all of this flower. The flower petals themselves, if you trace them with a pen, you can see very clearly that we're talking about DNA and manifestation. So at the intersections of the DNA, that is our manifesting point. And we manifest through perspective. That's all we've got.
And one of the things that you've noticed, I mean, because you play with so many people, is such a self-discovery game, because of the different subconscious angles that the game has, where you're just writing words to match, and the person themselves. I mean, you've told me quite a few stories about how people have come to realizations and have really done some personal discovery using the board. And then you actually have a way where you could use the board and use a piece of paper and you burn it at the end. What's that about?
Oh, well, that is a more shamanistic approach to what we're dealing with here. And I know we don't have much time on this radio show, but if your listeners want to find out more about this form of shamanism, of actually moving through consciousness and actually letting go of certain manifestations that we continually manifest. And the purpose of this board and this game is to help us to see where we're creating from. Part of this whole question that this board has been answering for me is, a while ago I had a question of, who am I? You know, and I think a few of your listeners can relate to that.
Uh-huh.
And I came to a place of, who am I right now? Because who am I is such a huge question. We can't really answer that. And so I started asking myself, who am I right now in this situation? In this situation, you know, with you, you know, I'm the guy being interviewed. And so to take it one step deeper, I came up with, where am I? And it's, where am I manifesting on the grid of consciousness itself? And that brought me to the answer of who I am. So playing this game, I can start to see the patterns in my own mind that I'm creating from. And that, my friend, is who I am.
Wow,
where I create from is who I am. It's not a carpenter or a game inventor, but the guy that's creating from these stories on a regular basis. And so many times we don't have control over which stories we choose to create from. We just bury the hard stories, so sometimes they come out a little bit sideways. And we don't know why we created this drama in our life. Well, playing the game for a little while, you're going to find out. And you're going to have the opportunity to shamanistically release that.
That's
so
what's
contact
up.
Contact me for more information about that.
Yeah, and that right there is the ultimate perfect game for the spiritual community. I played it a couple times myself and highly recommend it because it is an awesome game. It's good for potlucks and everything else. So, David, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm sure we will have you on the show again soon.
Wonderful. Good.
Awesome.
Oh, and just one other thing.
Sure.
Look for special game night events, at least initially in Asheville, North Carolina. We'll be having one on the 15th on Carolina Lane. It will be posted on the website soon, and just look for game nights and make requests for a teacher, myself, to come and do workshops, and yes, happy awakening.
Awesome, and that is David Beeler with the Flower of Life board game. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jenna.
Excellent. And now also coming up on the show is another special guest, is Richard Ganaway. And Richard, are you with us?
I am.
Awesome. How are you doing? Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Doing wonderful.
Great. So first let's talk about your AO Music. Where did AO Music come from? The meaning behind it, and where has it taken you?
Well, AO Music is a world music, kind of an ambiguous genre, ethnic fusion, world beat, new age project. And it's about 15 years old. It started in 1996. We're on our third album. And it involves indigenous from all over the planet. Typically, world music has a kind of specificity that we don't necessarily subscribe to. We're much more of we have no allegiance to any particular region. We like to blend all cultures.
As they should be. As they should
be.
And you also have your AO Foundation International. Tell us about what that represents and what that's about.
Fairly new, and part of what we do involves children from around the globe, and we wanted to create a model by which we could give back to some of these little villages where the kids come from. And AO Foundation International is sort of a way to discover other causes that are out there that are very effective and very well put together, very efficient, and it's exciting. We're just getting started, and we're learning about what is out there, which is quite inspiring. There are, especially these days, as you would expect, an amazing amount of well put together organizations that have a very focused intent on how to be the change. And so as we get into that realm, you know, we'll know best as we go along how to be a source for people to tap into to discover what is possibly a good option.
Absolutely. And with that being said, with what's going on with the change that's happening, what are your thoughts with the 2012, the shift of consciousness? Where do you lay in the middle of things?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think depending on how you approach that whole paradigm, you know, how you've either been programmed to think or what you've researched and discovered on your own. I would say I think it's a very personal assessment as to what that means to an individual. Personally, I would recommend anyone who's either curious or even thinks they have the answer to what that means to take as much information as possible, and there's a lot of sources out there.
Oh, yeah.
And just learn about what they are and what perspectives they have, and find the common denominators, and then see what it means to you. I think that certainly there are cycles converging. I mean, that's as scientific as anything could be. Mm-hmm. And on the spiritual side, as we look around and witness, we see cycles ending and cycles beginning. It's a beautiful tapestry of how cycles converge on one vortex of change. And what that change is really depends on each individual. I like to subscribe to a change of what our sense of community actually means, because in many ways the change is all about community. And as we adopt more of a sense of community into how we perceive just about everything, we're more likely to survive on many levels. Primarily our sanity. It's interesting. A lot of what we hear about is quite disturbing on the news, but there's a lot of other things going on as well that are just incredibly inspiring.
Absolutely. And I think go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that you know, one of the things that we like to convey is the change is okay. As scary as it can be, it's motion. And as cycles converge, it's just a part of the language, part of the harmonic tapestry of and you know, because I've been to your site, you know, if you've looked at sacred geometry or if you've understood just how color is constructed and music and how that language interweaves, you know, you realize that everything is in motion, and that, you know, if you zoom into a fractal, you see the jagged edges. But if you zoom out, you see where the edges smooth out. And the more we zoom out, the more we are able to embrace change as a part of evolution. And the best way to do that is to any way you can possibly fathom joy, invoke it, even if you have to go a little bit nuts to do so.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most important things you said, which really hit me, is community, because is making communities the way they should be, because our society has gotten so individualized, so materialistic, so iPhone or, you know, texting. And just for myself, that's sort of the life I was programmed to up until 2 years ago when I awakened, just to something, a different way, because I was open to it. And the community, like up in the Asheville area, is an amazing community. I've never – people say hi to you and they talk to you here. I mean, that doesn't happen in South Florida or New York, where I lived for 7 years. People, you know, knocking to you in the streets of New York, they keep going. And it's like, you know, that is what I see, is when that those communities stop, is when the big awakening is, when people don't have their iPhones anymore. They don't have that. And the neighborhood cookouts that my parents used to talk about. I never went to a neighborhood cookout, because when I grew up, the neighborhoods, everyone just came home from work and went in their house, and that was it. That was the neighborhood.
Right.
I didn't even know my neighbors in any of the neighborhoods ever growing up. Rarely. And that's the communities that, you know, society has created, and that is not how we were created to live in a community like that. So that was a huge thing you said. So thank you for sharing that, because I truly believe that. And that's part of the projects that I'm working on, is the Domain Eco Village, and bringing a sense of real community back and self-sustainable, because I believe that's where we're headed. And you are also up for a Grammy. Is that correct? Did I hear the correct news?
We're on the Grammy ballot. There's a few stages to go. Being on the ballot is certainly one stage in the journey towards a Grammy. There will be nominations chosen toward the end of this month, beginning of December. And by the grace of the universe, we hope we're one of the nominees. But getting on the ballot is certainly important if you're going to be nominated. And we're just elated that we're on it. And fingers and toes crossed.
And it's your second time on it, correct?
Yeah, the Twirl album actually made the ballot, and that was our first appearance on the ballot, so perhaps we've got a better shot being our second in 3 years.
Awesome. And you also had a music label, which I love just because of the name itself, and I asked you a little bit about that earlier, is your Arcturian label. Give us the website on that and tell us a little bit about that.
Arcturian Gate is, I mean, we're an independent artist on an independent label, and Arcturian Gate is our publishing label entity, and AO Music, of course, is the primary artist. I had a rock group called Tiger and the Helix back in the early 90s that is the other artist on that label, and primarily just the exploits of AO Music around the globe keep that label very busy, and all the sites, AOMusic.com, AO Foundation International, and then the label, which also sells books and artwork. They're all, you can go to any link from any label, or I'm sorry, from any website.
And they're all interlinked.
Has all the same links, yeah, right.
Awesome. Okay, well, Richard, thank you so much for your time and coming on the show, and best of luck to you with getting that Grammy, and I will personally put it out to universe to send some love and light towards that project, because what you're doing is amazing work with the AO Foundation International and everything else. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jonah.
Awesome. I'll talk to you soon. And with that, here's another track, Grease 2000.
Wherever you go.
Welcome back. That was another track. That was Grease 2000 from the album Timeless Trance. Thank you, David and Richard, both for coming on the show. And as always, Star fam, the time is now. Start talking to people. One by one, we'll awaken each other. We are all leaders in this game. There is no one different from anyone else. We are all the same. It is our time. It is the great awakening. The shift is happening. So time to awaken. These are the times where you should know the energies and forces that are here to support us and back us up. Next week, I have an amazing show for 11-11-11. I have Simeon Chiron Metronome coming on, and he's going to do a awesome guided oneness meditation. And that's going to be for the entire show. We're not going to do any news, any updates. Just very quickly at the beginning and go right into the meditation. So we are live at 11:11 p.m. to bring in this new energy and start of a new paradigm. And as the portal opens, we are here. Beings of love and light, thank you so much for tuning in and have an awesome week. I will talk to you all next week. This is Universal Nation. We'll be right back.